I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just talked about CJ Stroud, that he's going to be called overrated on the same level as a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen at any point this coming season. I think it's going to happen. It's generally after a primetime game, a standalone game, whenever one team loses, there's usually some sort of referendum on said team about what they are. Are they frauds? And even teams like the Kansas City Chiefs find themselves in the crosshairs from time to time, which I think is insane. I can't believe we're still doing it. There were moments last year where we did it again.
I mean, the way they crowned the Lions, and the Lions had a great season, but the way they crowned the Lions after that first game, like because they beat the Chiefs.
It was in a fluky way, too, because Kadarius Toney, remember, dropped that pass that got pick sixed.
Let's just go into a world where the Texans lose week two on Sunday Night Football.
Which Joe is rooting for.
Yeah.
No comment.
I mean, he's literally.
We know that.
You know what? No, I want the Texans
decked out.
Don't lie. Come on.
The Bears can go 16-1.
Don't lie to us.
That's more insulting.
Don't lie to us.
That's just insulting.
Joe, if the Patriots play the Texans, I would root for the Patriots. I feel these days I would be a little bit more happy if the Texans won after the fact, and especially in a post Tom Brady world, I care less about the Patriots than I used to. But I would 100% be rooting for the Patriots against the Texans.
Yeah, I'm not denying.
Just admit it. No. But you did. You did deny it for a second.
I told you guys. I'm going to the game.
You're going in a Bears jersey. Yes.
So I'm rooting for the Bears.
Yes.
He's been throwing his Lance Briggs jersey and be at the game.
I need to get one of those.
That would be a sick. If you had a Lance Briggs jersey, that would be sick.
That would be a good pull. But like, what if they lost that game? What's going to happen on Monday?
Yeah.
If Caleb Williams and the Bears win that game,
they will get crushed.
Caleb's awesome.
Yeah. If Caleb's awesome and CJ has a rough game,
well,
he's going to get torched the next
game. If Caleb plays well, since it's Chicago and it's the Bears,
they'll only talk about Caleb.
They will probably talk more about Caleb Williams. So that is the one benefit. Hopefully, if they do lose, Caleb Williams just tears it up. And that way, Stroud will just completely be forgotten. He'll be B block. Caleb Williams, A block.
I think there's a stretch where they have three straight primetime games. It looks like, the Jets, and then they host the Lions, and then they go to Dallas. If they go like 1-2 in that stretch and their record is like 5-3 or something, that's one where it's like, I mean, we do it all the time in the NFL season where we wait until where a team's at their lowest possible moment and we go, frauds? Is this team done? We did it last year with the Bills. Like, where it was like when the Taliban story came out regarding Sean McDermott's reverence for them, we all thought, this man is fired. This man is losing his job, and then they whipped out six straight wins.
He glazed the Taliban.
He glazed the Taliban.
No, it was high key, man.
For real.
For real. On God. No cap in there.
I guess I got to start working these in with you guys, too. I can't just leave you guys stranded.
No. I am Gen Z now. But okay? Yeah,
so that's
going to dye my hair now. Get a broccoli top.
That stretches week 9 through 11. You're right, Sean. If they go 1-2 against the Jets, Lions, and Dallas, where they play on Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night in order, and CJ struggles, even if they're 7-4 coming out of that stretch, but they lost two of those three games, He'll get roasted. Honestly, it could happen week one. They're the biggest storyline of the offseason, the Houston Texans. Every move they made, they're talked about more than any other team. They are part of the national conversation. They are the they are the sexy pick for MVP, for C.J. Stroud, like we talked about.
Yeah.
There are going to be people who pick them to go to the Super Bowl this year, and starting in the next like 2 weeks, when all these shows start making their predictions and people want to be contrarians against the Chiefs, the Texans and the Lions are going to be the most popular picks.
Anyone who's a contrarian against the Chiefs this year should be suspended.
Yeah. Just pick a three-peat.
I'm picking a three-peat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying everyone has to pick a three-peat.
Yeah.
I just mean, if we do this again, as someone who saw people do this to the Patriots often and be wrong often, when did Trent Dilfer say that the Patriots were about to fall off a cliff? It was 2014, right?
The year they won a Super Bowl.
The year they won a Super Bowl. I mean, there were a lot of people who kept on digging their grave. And you should not do it with the Chiefs until Mahomes is gone. Yeah. Gone.
There are just certain rules. You pick Tom Brady every year. You pick LeBron James every year. Now you pick Patrick Mahomes every year.
I think it's crazy. Yes, even if he's shown up in a dad bod, like, I think it's crazy to pick against him.
Yeah,
and I think it's crazy to call him overrated even after one game where he plays poorly.
Yeah,
I feel like we all had our suspicions. If without Tyreek Hill, what's he going to do? One of these wide receivers, maybe it's Xavier Worthy, but like Rashee Rice, who loves to drive his car.
Did he get suspended yet?
Far too fast. We haven't heard anything yet. But like Rashee Rice, by the end of the year, was a competent wide receiver. And going into the year, we're like, who are they throwing to this season? And he'd been without Tyreek Hill already. So, I mean,
the only time like I would feel confident in picking against Mahomes is this, I guess, the season after Kelce retires. Because like that's going to be such
a hard... that's fair.
But like besides that...
Or if Andy Reid retires.
Yeah, but besides that, why would you pick against Mahomes until another quarterback goes to the Super Bowl that's not named Joe Burrow? Because even with the Bengals, you can't say that this ultimate threat to the Chiefs because Burrow doesn't stay healthy. So until another quarterback does it, or until Burrow is healthy for like three seasons in a row, I'm picking Mahomes every year.
Okay.
There's no other reason.
Also, if Burrow's healthy for three straight years, but loses to the Chiefs those three straight years, then you can't pick Burrow either. At some point, like someone just has to beat these guys.
Yes.
But Burrow was the guy who did it.
Yes.
So, at the very least, you've seen him do it. The problem is, with Kansas City, even with L'Jarius Sneed traded, their defense is also really good, and everyone forgets about it.
Yeah, last year, their defense was the reason that they were as good as they were.
And I do think there is something to be said with them playing for a three-peat. The last time that we saw an opportunity for this was 05 with the New England Patriots, who were coming off of the two Super Bowls. And that Patriots team was not the team it was the year before. I don't know if it felt that way in the offseason, but I remember, I think it was Teddy Bruschi who had like a stroke. So that was like a rather large hole to have in their defense in the middle of the year. And there was always an element with the Patriots of, okay, hey, I mean, they're winning with a bunch of guys that they drafted in like 96, 97. So there are some older guys on the Chiefs. Oh, but I feel like, at least looking at this and comparing it to 05 when New England had a chance at a three-peat, this is a damn good one. The AFC West, much like the AFC East back in the day, sucks.
Yeah.
Who's even going to have a like close to a 500 record? Like the Raiders, because they finished the season well and they like Antonio Pierce. The Broncos stink. And I know that the Chargers have Jim Harbaugh now, but I don't think Harbaugh can clean this up in 1 year.
Well, and we're just to continue the last segment too. Also in the most overrated conversation, it's Herbert.
Ooh.
I mean, he's got to be number one on the list because he hasn't accomplished anything.
He has the analytics people and the film people glazing him a lot.
It's not even the film people. It's the people who post two throws a game on social media.
Yes, because the thing that everyone has to remember when it comes to NFL quarterbacks, every quarterback is capable of making that throw happen in a game. Every single one of them that has made it to the NFL level is capable of doing something like that. Zach Wilson's even had some ridiculous-looking highlights, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is doing that on a consistent basis. Now, with Herbert, I will say this about Herbert. We were very mean to Matt Stafford for a very, very long time, to the point where we just completely ignored him. And then he finally plays for a team that's not run by the Fords, who, by the way, idolized Hitler during World War II. when he plays for another franchise, all of a sudden he wins a Super Bowl.
I could totally see that for Herbert, that when his post-Chargers days, he goes and he rips one or two Super Bowls.
Or even just give Jim Harbaugh like 3 years to get this thing
running. Yeah, I mean, Harbaugh's going to – I would bet on Harbaugh turning it around.
Yeah, I mean
– it would be a mistake to bet against him.
You listed the teams in the AFC West, not Chiefs division because they're going to win the division, but the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos. Someone in that division has to finish second place. And if you're going to finish second place, chances are you're going to be something like 9-8 or 8-9.
That's what I think.
The Chargers have a pretty good chance of being that team because the Broncos absolutely will not be that team. And then you have the power of friendship Raiders. Like the Raiders that are just like, well, we love our coach. Sell me on the Raiders. Man, they love their coach. All right.
Honestly, cool. I'm looking at the Chargers schedule this year. If they don't make the playoffs...
Fraud?
That's a
fraud alert.
That's a real tough thing for Herbert. I mean, this is their schedule: Raiders, Panthers, Steelers, Chiefs, bye, Broncos, Cardinals, Saints, Browns, Titans, Bengals, Ravens.
There's a lot of toss-ups there.
Falcons, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Broncos, Patriots, Raiders.
I don't know, man. Like
tough at the end. It gets tougher at the end.
The Panthers are really the only team on that I say is a layup.
Yeah, not layups, but if you're Justin Herbert and Harbaugh, I would say they should be favored in a majority of these games.
Well, we'll talk a little more about Jim Harbaugh in our Around the NFL segment because all-time quote from Harbaugh to open up training camp. But coming up next, Kalon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9 HD2, we are going to tell you about history that the Astros made in yesterday's win over the Oakland A's. It is amazing. And it also has us wondering, what is the worst current stadium in American sports? Stick around.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
One towards first. Singleton will field it. He'll flip to King, and that's an Astros winner today. A 3-3 road trip. The Astros become the only American League team to have a winning record in the history of the Oakland Coliseum, other than the A's themselves, as they end up 55-54 all time in this building.
How about that for history?
Interesting.
I did not know that.
I missed that.
They've had a lot of success there, that's for damn sure. Even when the A's were good. I mean, there was a three-year stretch, what, like 18, 19, 20?
Yeah, where it was a dogfight.
The A's were good.
Yeah. That's
You never took them seriously, but they were good.
That's fascinating. They're the only one.
Yeah. And, I mean, think about this stretch of Astros baseball. That was the only team that was, honestly, on their level the longest.
Yeah.
That's it. Like the Rangers, it's been, what, 2 years essentially? And not even really like during the World Series years. It was 2016 and last year. And the Angels, everyone's always injured. And the Mariners, it was like 2 years ago for the first time.
For the majority of the run, I think the A's are the only other team in the division that made the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. Although the Mariners have their play-in game.
But, I mean, that was 2 years ago.
Right.
For in the 2010s, it was basically once the Rangers lost in 2015 or 16, and then no other team, like the Mariners didn't make it, the A's didn't make it, or the Angels didn't make it. The A's got a couple wild cards.
Yeah, Trout might have had the one series.
I think that was like 2013.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. That was in the 10th. Yeah, you're right. He's not played in the 20s.
Like in the like Astros
like golden
like, dominance era. Yeah. Like no other team other than the A's a couple times has made the playoffs.
Yeah. It's. I also learned yesterday that apparently the first time that it's documented that the wave was done at a baseball game was there at the Coliseum.
You could understand it when apparently, at like, that stadium.
It's like a U. I can't remember if they said it was USC or UCLA is where it started. And then the first time it was done at a baseball game was at the Coliseum.
Okay.
I was just like, no wonder their fans suck.
They actually do have fans who care for what it's worth. Like I think there's more A's fans who care as far as percentage of A's fans than there are Angels fans who care. And there are Rangers fans who care, even after the World Series they just won. Talking about you, Tab. Where you been? I miss you. Hope you're still kicking it. You're a wonderful man. The only Rangers fan any of us like. Alex Bregman was asked about his last game at the Coliseum after it was done. I don't know why, but this quote tickled me.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, my last at bat. I was like, this is my last at bat ever here. So, ended in a walk. I loved it. I hadn't walked in like a long time, so I couldn't have been happier with that result. I need to start walking more. So, it's a good way to end.
Imagine saying, you know what? It's great to end my time playing at the Coliseum with a walk. Just goes to show you what a dump that place is. I wish Bregman had said, I'm so glad we're not playing in this rancid rat hole again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, it's the way they talk about this team, it's a lot of pity you hear. Chaz McCormick after the game on TV was talking about his home run there and how he'll always remember it. You even heard, you know, both radio and TV broadcasters saying nice things, which we all know is a lie because there's possums in their booth. But I think everyone just feels bad for the city of Oakland that they've lost everything. Like, and I feel bad. They've lost the A's now. You lost the Raiders. You lost the Warriors, basically. You lost the 49ers. Didn't they play at Oakland at one point, technically? It's all that stuff. Just, it sucks. And it's probably not the players' fault. It's the city. It's the ownership groups. But I don't think anyone's really going to miss that place.
No. A's fans will miss the team being in Oakland. They won't miss the ownership group that owns that team. I don't think Las Vegas wants them. I don't even know if Sacramento wants them, to be perfectly honest. What is the worst stadium in all of major American sports? Which is the worst? You can't say the Trop. I'll kill you. I will hunt you down and kill you if you say it's the Trop.
I actually don't
with
think,
words.
I actually don't think the Trop is like that bad. I think I think the atmosphere is bad.
No.
I don't think the stadium itself is bad.
Atmosphere is perfect because there's so few people there, so you can get in there, park.
Yeah.
Park wherever you want. Parking lot. It's cheap.
I would like less retirees at the games.
The only games where the people showed up, Red Sox and Yankees games.
Yeah.
$10 tickets still available.
Right now.
Still. They were available for that when they sucked, but now they're still available. Air conditioning?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Does Wrigley Field have air conditioning? No, dump. Nope. Does Fenway Park have air conditioning? $300 to get into the stadium? Nope,
that
dump.
That was going to be my controversial choice, was Fenway Park.
Oh, Fenway's a dump. Fenway really? I hate Fenway.
I heard the seats are small.
Seats are small.
The seats are small. They give your butt splinters. You might have an obstructed view.
Yeah.
The tickets are going to cost $300. When you scalp them on the corner, some random guy's going to say, Whitey Bulger did a lot for the community, dude.
Yeah. Wrigley's tough. I love it. It's a great place to go visit, but there's literally netting in the stadium so cement doesn't fall on you.
I didn't know that.
Like, there are certain parts, like, maybe it's gone now, but, like, at one point, like, cement fell from the ceiling, so they had, like, this, like, netting up. I don't know if it's still there.
The, like, 1904 cement didn't hold.
There's very obstructive views where there's giant cement poles in your way. So while it's an incredible experience, and I highly recommend people go, and if you're like me, you absolutely love it, I would get why people would call it a dump. I do get that.
It's these older...
The other one in town, nice ballpark, because it's like a Minute Maid ripoff, the White Sox park.
Cellular?
Like, you might get stabbed on your way out, so I kind of put it in the bad
Southside
category.
Rough.
Also, dump of a team.
Yeah.
You have to give Jerry Reinsdorf money.
Soldier Field is pretty ugly.
I was going to... It's at the top of my list. It is the worst stadium in football.
The worst in football. Worse than FedEx Field. Because I think FedEx Field.
Yeah. You know what? FedEx Field.
For Washington.
Good point.
I mean, they had sewage fall on fans in the middle of a game.
I was going to go non-ancient stadium division. Because a lot of these are just they're just ancient stadiums that haven't been upkept in any way. But for a structure that was built, what, in the 90s? 2000s, maybe?
FedEx Field, I believe, is the 90s. And I remember when it was first built, it was 1997, Jack Kent Cook Stadium.
Okay.
And at the time, it was, I think, the biggest stadium in the National Football League. Just think about that. That stadium is less than a decade older than NRG Stadium. And it's not like NRG Stadium is the
five
best
years
stadium.
Older.
But yeah. It's,
no, but NRG's not. What was it last year?
NRG's 02.
When the fans fell out of the stands?
Yeah. They fell. Didn't
they fell like into the tunnel?
They fell onto Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It fell onto Jalen Hurts. The field has injured countless players.
Yeah. Oh, the field is insane. If you actually like look into the RG3 injury, and I forgot where it was that he explained it, but he was like, yeah, they would bring in sand to like help the field stay solid, basically, and then spray paint the sand green. So it looked like grass.
That's not good.
And then you're like, oh, that's why he tore every ligament in his knee against the Seahawks in that playoff game.
A lot of people are bringing up old stadiums. I mean current ones, because there was an era where all stadiums were terrible,
yeah,
right? I mean, from a dome perspective, the Kingdome in Seattle, dump. The Astrodome, okay, you might have great memories there. In the 60s, now, dump.
Yeah,
especially now. Now yeah. It's just like yeah. a it's like a wart you never sawed off your body.
It's literally a dump now.
Well, see, like the older stadiums, yes, they're gonna be like okay. The reason why Soldier Field's on there, like, is because of the thing they put on top, the alien spaceship.
Yeah, it looks like a space shuttle.
It looks awful. Like that's why that one belongs on there. I've heard Detroit's pretty bad.
Really, the new one, relatively new one, Ford Field.
Like, people do not enjoy going there.
Interesting. Because that's an O2 stadium as well. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like NRG's, I like NRG.
NRG's okay.
NRG's fine.
NRG, there's nothing special about NRG.
I mean, I think if you're comparing Jerry World and NRG, Jerry World blows it out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry World's only a little bit younger than NRG. Yeah. I do think it's something to have in the back of your mind. There's going to come a point where the Houston Texans will push for a new stadium. And you got to wonder how they're going to have it built. Now that they're getting good, just keep it in the back of your mind.
You don't think that's happening in the next, like, 3 years?
I was just about to ask. Over, under 5 years.
They're never getting another Super Bowl, ever, with NRG. There will never be another Super Bowl here in Houston until they get a new stadium.
Well, without Bob McNair on the NFL's inner circle, it might be a little bit more difficult because they did renovations to the stadium right before they got the Super Bowl a couple of years ago where Brady had the awesome comeback.
But you've got LA and you've got Vegas and you've got a new stadium in Miami coming, and at some point you'll have a dome stadium in Chicago.
They always go back to the Superdome for whatever reason.
They always go back to the Superdome.
I mean, they're doing it this year.
Is the Superdome?
I think it's just because of New Orleans.
Yeah.
More than it's about the stadium.
It is like kind of historic as far as NFL stadiums go. No, just because they've had so many Super Bowls there.
Yeah.
Where it feels like it's like, oh, bring it. Gotta have a Super Bowl.
It does weirdly look cool if you're driving through or walking around downtown New Orleans. I remember seeing it for the first time and I was like, huh, I thought it would look crappier than this.
It looks kind of cool.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's the most surprising name that hasn't been on this list, considering how it's kind of old, and also you don't think of it as the state-of-the-art thing.
Well, remember the Jacoby Jones Super Bowl where there was like an hour delay because of the power outage?
Beyonce.
That was great. Well, and if the McNairs were ever going to say, like, this is the time to build a new stadium, wouldn't when part of your roof rips off be the time to be like, hey,
such
like,
a good point.
We're going to start exploring the new ideas. The hurricanes are getting worse. We need to make sure that our stadium is coming cost effective and not having to wait and order these special panels that, Cal say, you can't get at Ace Hardware.
No.
Like, thanks for teaching us that, Cal. I appreciate it.
Gotta get them custom.
This is the moment that if you're going to do it, new jerseys, new quarterback, stadium damage, if you're going to explore the idea, and you'll never, ever have the amount of fan support to get the taxpayers' dollars.
That's the other theme. You have new jerseys, new quarterback. Also, team is awesome.
Yeah.
Team is good.
Yeah, if you want the taxpayers to pay for it, this is your moment to get them to do it, McNairs.
This is such a great point. Such a great point.
I would be stunned if we don't hear about this in the next 2 years.
And honestly, you're wearing that hat. I mean, they should hire you right on the spot.
Are you a is this an op right now?
Season ticket holder, Joe. you know they sold out this year. I'm one. My dad bought them.
is this your on-air audition to try out to work at Across
No. We already had that awkward conversation on air once.
I know. I've been pushing it at you. We got to do it again. Come on now.
No.
Someone brought up Minute Maid Park when it had the small hill in the outfield. Honestly, I think they should bring it back. I like it when baseball stadiums have the weird things out there. There's the Monument Park at Yankee Stadium back in the day. The Trops. Catwalks that randomly knock balls back down into the infield. I like that. I think it adds a little charm.
Yeah, what was it? It was
the Metrodome had that in Minnesota too for a bit.
Was it Jim Edmonds? Yeah, I watched that yesterday because I think it was recently the anniversary where he hit the foul pole, but it was in play. Yeah. What a weird rule!
Just like ran face into it.
Yeah.
Ow.
I just don't understand. Like that's you can bring the hill back. Don't put the foul pole.
The foul poles is where it goes yeah. too far. I like Paul. I enjoy a little bit of the mini golf elements. Yeah. Stadium construction, but the actual flagpoles in play is crazy.
The flagpole is that was the best part. The hill, whatever. The flagpole is the funniest thing.
I can't believe adults said yes to that.
Like, who thought that was a good idea? It must have been some contractor who put the plans together. He's like, oh yeah, we're gonna put the pole here. And he like doesn't know how baseball worked.
Yeah. Or no, I think they sold it as like, no, see, this is a throwback to like when they would play in the 1930s with actual hills in the outfield. Like, it wouldn't be a flat surface.
I mean, look, there's nothing, maybe because it's just, there's nothing to it. Toyota Center? Like, it's not really, like, there's nothing flat.
Yeah,
there's nothing flashy about it.
It's just your average basketball.
Yeah, the NBA, NBA stuff is tough because, like, there's not really a lot there. As long as it's relatively new, it's fine.
Yeah, besides, like, the good ones are, you know, Barclays, the new Clipper Stadium looks awesome.
Yeah.
You see what they did for the fans for the t-shirt gun?
No, I did not.
They said it because the t-shirt gun doesn't reach far enough in the stadium that they put them up top now.
And so
the t-shirts will be dropping from the top of the stadium instead of a t-shirt gun. So that way they can include everyone.
Steve Ballmer, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what he's thinking of.
Innovative thinking that built Microsoft.
How to get t-shirts out to fans.
You know
free.
What? Steve Ballmer cares.
Actually, I don't hate the idea.
I like Steve Ballmer.
Idea. I really don't.
It's just funny that the guy who came up with the Microsoft is also like I'm very passionate about t-shirts.
Yeah, I got to make sure all my fans get t-shirts.
Developers. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glasses. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are 42 days away from the start of the NFL season. And to continue our countdown, we're not going to talk about Ronnie Lott cutting off his finger. We're going to talk about the last good quarterback for Joe George's favorite franchise. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Seeing the mighty Bears for the last time. 10 of them are leaving for the nation's armed forces.
Luckman's farewell to football for the war's duration. A touchdown pass to Clark. The Bears win 41-21, and Luckman joins the U.S. Maritime Service with the best wishes of the entire world of sports.
Sid Luckman.
I love these old announcers.
Was the best quarterback in Bears history.
Yeah. It's a low bar, though.
He wore number 42. Well, he had an actually pretty awesome career. For those who don't know, he went to Columbia, an Ivy Leaguer drafted second overall in the 1939 NFL draft, won four championships, 1940, 1941, 1943, 1946, the NFL MVP in 43, five-time first-team All-Pro from 41 to 44, and in 47. The NFL All-Star team, 1940 to 42, passing yards leader in 43, 45, 46, passing touchdowns leader, 43, 45, 46, blah, 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 blah. Sid Luckman is 33 on the NFL's top 100 list that they released about 15 years ago or so. And he also served in World War II. So he volunteered stateside in 1943, as a U.S. Merchant Marine, is it ensign? Ensign? I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce the word. Whatever the case. During the 44 and 45 seasons, he would be gone during the week, but granted permission to play in games on weekends. And then, in June of 44, he went from Britain to France.
Okay.
So he served stateside, but during the off-season, and I don't know how the hell he was able to pull this off. Is this Columbia connections? Is this the Bears? But he served both overseas and stateside during World War II in the Merchant Marine.
I will say the most powerful man probably in America at that time, you know, Al Capone. Probably have to say.
Was Al Capone? I think Al Capone wasn't as.
Was he in the 40s?
I think Al Capone. No, Al Capone was Prohibition era.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Al Capone's. Come on, Joe. Know your Chicago history. You didn't even know who Sid Luckman was.
No, I just didn't know he was number 42. I just always forget that quarterbacks used to wear weird numbers.
You know who else used to wear number 42? Ronnie Lott.
Fact.
You know who else used to wear number 42? One of the best defensive backs in St. Petersburg, Florida / Pinellas County in 2006. There's a St. Pete Times article about it.
Tommy Peterson?
Nope.
Paul Gallant.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it myself.
Why? Why didn't you?
I was one of the best.
Normally, you don't have any problem saying it.
One of the best. Well, there's a newspaper proof of it. Who's gonna prove it wrong? Who's gonna study the film? Someone should study the film. I don't agree with it.
Have Lance Erline look at
it. I think we should do a YouTube series.
I wish I had all of my tape.
Lance breaking down Paul Gallant.
I only have my highlight tape. I wish I had all of my tape.
I think Lance could still pick something out of your highlight tape.
It would be pretty funny. I got to put it together. It's like on a DVD somewhere.
I'll just... Middle management Joe will say, Lance is mandatory.
That actually could be pretty funny.
Lance is mandatory.
I like that. All right. I'm going to give you guys a would you rather. Who would you rather have as a head coach? Dan Campbell, who was doing up downs at the first Lions training camp practice of the year and also had this to say to kick off their 2024 campaign.
It's all about the work. We don't live off reputation. We live off of work.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Live off the work, not reputation. Work hard.
Then, on the other side, you've got Jim Harbaugh, new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, who had this to say about the first day of training camp.
Just the way it feels, I mean, feels like New Year's Day, you know? Feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know? It's like you're in there and it's comfortable and it's safe, and now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, it's bright, got chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you, and just feels good to have it happen.
Now I'm wondering if Jim Harbaugh is the only person on planet Earth that remembers his birth. Somehow he's so intelligent that he remembers being born.
What he described was the most horrifying thing imaginable. Yeah. Too. Now that I think about it, being born sounds awful.
Getting squeezed out of your mom's privates into the world.
Yeah.
By the way, I broke my mom's hips when I did that. 9 pounds, 8 ounces. That is not at all something, one, you can remember, because you are legitimately seconds old.
Unless you're Jim Harbaugh, maybe.
No way he remembered
it. Do you think he remembers the womb?
No way he remembers that. And number two, how did you get from New Year's Day to being birthed?
He was thinking about great days, and he went, New Year's Day. Not birthdays, birthday. Like an actual birthday.
Christmas.
No, the actual birthday.
Yeah.
Two different words. Birthday.
I just wish they were on Hard Knocks. And yep. I could see him tell this story of what it's like the first day of training camp and use the same exact analogy to Justin Herbert and the players. And they're like, just see their faces.
You're wet, slimy, you got some doctor touching you.
Like, I just want to see it. Like, I just want to see how the players react. Or get their reaction after he speaks. Like, I love Hard
Knocks. Yeah, no offense. They should have picked the Chargers and not the Bears for Hard Knocks.
Well, the Chargers aren't eligible.
Yeah, they still should have picked him anyway.
I agree.
Because of Harbaugh. Like, Eberflus is a snooze fest. Caleb Williams will be interesting.
Yeah.
Herbert's a bit of a snooze fest himself, too. But I need Jim Harbaugh.
That's why I kind of want as many... I want to be the fly in the room, or if they're on Hard Knocks, as many scenes as possible of Jim Harbaugh talking to Justin Herbert, because I feel like Justin Herbert's just like, who am I talking to right now? Like, what are you doing right now? Justin Herbert's probably never met a person like Jim Harbaugh before in his life. I can't imagine how he reacts.
I don't know if the NFL will do the offseason one again, because it seems all bad for the Giants. Like everything that comes out,
the more
like,
we know,
all the Saquon Barkley stuff. I don't know if an NFL team will ever want to give that kind of access again. It's been cool to watch. I've actually watched it.
I think that's the biggest bummer, is that whenever it's actually worth watching, the NFL is going to be like, ah, damn, we showed our hand too much.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that with Hard Knocks original.
Yeah.
It was too interesting.
Oh, 100%.
Now they sanitized it.
100%. Sean Apes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Speeches can be hard. But if you're in the process of trying to show everybody that you mean business to give the best off first impression possible, you gotta come to the table with more than this. You will hear an all-time horrible introductory speech. Next, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9.2 HD.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
UCLA, esteemed Big Ten member, had their introductory press conference at Big Ten Media Day yesterday. DeShaun Foster, you might remember him as a running back in the NFL. He scored a touchdown in Super Bowl 38 here in Houston. Is their head coach. He replaces Chip Kelly, who left to be Ohio State's offensive coordinator, which says a lot about UCLA's program as a whole. On the outside looking in, someone's leaving that for a coordinator gig. Must not be the easiest one. And perhaps, at least based off of this press conference, the Bruins aren't getting the best hire. Here is DeShaun Foster's opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships. So this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
The best part is that he says, I'm sure a lot of people don't know that much about UCLA. We're in LA.
Yes.
There's us in USC.
The University of California, Los Angeles is in LA.
And then just a long pause. He laughs.
I think he knew what he said.
Any questions? He should have prepared something.
Yes, 100. I made the comparison on Dale's show. 100%, you did not do the summer reading, and you're looking at the book, talking about the book, being like, oh, yes, I know what this is about. You know, it's about a catcher, some rye.
Some people can do things without prepping. Others cannot. DeShaun Foster cannot speak without prepping. And by the way, speaking in public, it's difficult. This is this cavernous room. Mm-hmm. There's an echo. You got a podium and everything like that. But to go from saying, in just a matter of seconds, I'm sure a lot of you guys don't know too much about UCLA. We're in LA. There's us in USC. I mean, there's so many things you could have said.
He had the number of championships. Which leads me to think that there was some sort of, like, he didn't think that he was going to have to give a speech, and then someone was like, no, you're going to have to, like, make opening remarks. And so he was like, oh, well, what should I say? And then some SID was like, well, we've won 100 whatever championships. He's like, cool, got that. And then he said four other things, and he was like, didn't listen. Don't, I forgot. See you later.
I mean, look, he could have said all of the names of the great players who have played there.
I don't think he could have just started naming players on his own team.
When he said, I know you don't know a lot about us, do you? Do you know anything about UCLA?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's like, basically what we just said here. He clearly has not done his research. And the funny thing is, I mean, he played there. He is one of their best players ever. He was really good.
He coached there under Chip Kelly. Like, yeah. he's been at UCLA for a large part of his life.
All he had to do was have someone give him a list of players. That's it. Troy Aikman is where you start. Jonathan Ogden, one of the best tackles in NFL history. Maurice Jones-Drew, how do you not remember him?
Mm-hmm. Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Cade McNown, too. You know, there are some guys who struggle at the NFL level, but there's plenty that he could have talked about. I think Mercedes Lewis is still in the NFL.
He could just give yep, we're excited to get to know this new conference. Obviously, it's going to pose a lot of new challenges. Looking forward to meeting those challenges head on. I believe in our guys. We have a good group of guys. Any questions?
That would have worked.
If you just take out the long pauses, and you just insert absolute nonsense in the middle, we probably don't play. It's the long pauses and we're in LA. There's USC who's here too. We got USC in the building. Was it like a wedding speech where he's like, "We got UCLA in the building, hoping for some applause or something"?
You can't bring up your arch rival in the middle of your opening statement. I mean, yeah. When he was describing UCLA, you guys don't know much about us.
Yeah.
He says USC. I mean, what are you doing, dude?
Or just go up there and say, let's just get to questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take questions.
Hey, for those who don't know me, Deshaun Foster used to be a great runner. Yeah, he probably shouldn't give his own bio. But
it would have been better than what he did.
It would have been worse, or it would have been bad in a different way if he was just like, yeah, 1,200 yards in 1995. If he just started listing off his achievements.
Again, going through the achievements, he could have just gone to Wikipedia. Now, everyone in sports radio, listen, on the fly, when we're trying to look up something that we don't know, we can be honest and say, I don't know. We could also go to Wikipedia and pretend we do. And a lot of us do the latter. I'll admit, I've been guilty of that from time to time. But all he had to do was go on his phone, put it on that podium, and look at, hey, when did they win a national title? Oh, they claimed one in 1954. How many conference titles did they win in the Pac-12? Oh, 17.
I still even think that there's a lot of stuff you don't know about us as a bad road to go down if you're going to actually just give easily look-upable facts about your team. Because guess what? You're talking to a room full of journalists. Guess what they all have on their laps? A computer,
computers, yes.
That can tell you notable USC or UCLA alumni.
There's also I've been to Big Ten Media Day. They give you a packet of information.
He should brought that up.
I just start reading it.
Yeah, our team captain.
Your SID wrote it for you. Just start reading it. I think my favorite part about Big Ten Media Day, besides this, was they had this banner or this graphic that they were putting up, talking about all the championships that they've added to the conference. But they didn't remove teams that are no longer in the conference.
Mm.
They still count the University of Chicago's 7 Big Ten titles or national championships.
I don't acknowledge them.
They should.
You can't add UCLA's championships and keep the University of Chicago.
Well, you can keep their Big Ten titles.
I don't know.
It is funny to be here's how many titles, how many conference titles this conference has won.
Yeah.
It's it's as many years in the conference.
What are you
talking about?
Yeah, this whole realignment thing is so bizarre still. It's still hard for me to wrap my mind around that USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington are in the Big Ten. Yeah.
They are,
so
though.
Bizarre.
They are.
A lot of stuff you might not know about UCLA.
The SMU is in the ACC.
You might not know, but we're in the Big Ten now.
Some listeners might not know, but UCLA is in Los Angeles.
It stands for
USC.
The University of California, comma, Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah, he should drop, you also don't know that we had to pay University of Cal Berkeley money because we left the Big 12 or the Pac-12.
Yeah, you could say we are a public school and USC is a private school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a little classism in there. You could say UCLA. He mentioned all those championships. Only, again, one claimed one for the football team. One Heisman, too, 1967. A guy who played 5 games in the NFL. His name's Gary Bebben. Could have done that.
Things to know about UCLA, according to Google.
It's a beautiful campus.
We play in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
In its early history, the Bruins, UCLA's football team, were known as the Cubs. UCLA colors are...
Good change.
UCLA's colors are true blue and gold. They were chosen specifically to represent the state's ocean and wildflowers.
Okay. I mean, you could have read those, too.
Again, if he just read this, it would be bad, but it would be bad as, like, look how boring this is. look how boring this guy is.
From the 747, hey, Paul, not everyone's a blabmouth like you. Fair. It's hard to talk in front of people. Give them a break. It would take some media members that know how to talk about someone who's afraid to speak in public. He's not afraid to speak in public.
I bet you he's great.
Yeah, I'm sure. The issue here is he didn't give a bleep about what he was going to say. He didn't even consider, like, oh, I'm going to have to, like, say something.
I bet you as soon as they started asking questions, everything was fine. He started talking about his football team, and there's no afraid to speak in public. He just probably didn't know he had to make an opening remarks, which is kind of stupid.
And it is weird.
How do you not know?
Yeah.
But it's weird for, like, what do I say to this room full of people that are just going to ask me questions? Like, it's just, hey, I'm Deshaun Foster, head coach of UCLA. It's our first year here in the Big Ten. Any questions?
How about the route king of all Twitch's offers? We have a lot of hot-ass co-eds. What if he said, like, yeah, back in the day, yo, I was getting some. Would that be worse than that opening statement? The answer is actually yes. It would be worse.
It would be, but again, I would have rather heard of that audio.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't want that. I'd rather him do this.
It falls into bad in a different way. And honestly, just it being a bad speech in a different way is probably better.
Do you know what was better? Clearly better. The way that South Florida Bulls head coach, shout out to South Florida. I went to a lot of South Florida games when I was in high school. 10 to be exact. South Florida coach Alex Golish. He's going to have the entire world of college football quaking after this comment.
You're playing teams like Bama, Miami. You played Bama last year as well. Do you think it's important to continue having those matchups, even though last year the playoff committee didn't seem to put much of a value on strength of schedule when setting who that team from this group would be?
Yeah, Bama and Miami got to play South Florida.
You should have said Bama, but if you said Miami and Florida, then he's not wrong. Because both those programs are.
Yeah, Miami's got to play us. It's like, okay,
Miami's got to play us. It's like, you can sell me on that. You can sell me on Florida's got to play us. Alabama?
I don't know. Did you see South Florida play Alabama last year?
Yeah, kept it close.
They kept it close.
Kept it close.
And I mean, there's no Nick Saban anymore. I like it.
It was also the only game where Alabama didn't play their starting quarterback.
Hey, come on, man.
They just didn't play him.
That was so bizarre.
They played a lacrosse player.
You're right. He was. That's what he's doing now,
yeah,
right?
Drew Pine, I want to say.
Oh, boy. Anyway, it is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Shout out to the South Florida Bulls. They should put them in the Big Ten, not UCLA. It makes a lot more sense.
A lot of stuff you don't know about us.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Alabama and Miami have to play us.
Coming up next, is Hunter Brown an ace? We'll discuss next. Stick around.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.